Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today on Thanksgiving Eve, it's the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, hello, Benuni. How you doing, baby?
Doing just great over here. We are about to do our Salt Lake City recap, and then we're off until Monday. So that means there will not be a Southern Charm recap. Apologies for that. We are taking Thanksgiving weekend off completely. So,
but just in case you guys want to know what happened, the guys looked like angels while they were getting ready to fuck over a bunch of women for the season.
That is correct. That is correct. And half of them still don't have jobs. So, and by half, I mean all.
All. I was going to say, what half are you referring to? The only one on that show with a job is Randy.
Yeah. And Craig, sort of. On Monday,
Craig has a Jerry who does jobs.
He has a Jerry.
Yeah.
That's sweet, sweet Jerry. Monday, we're back. We are also bringing back Married to Medicine to our roster. So we're excited about that. So can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. In the meantime, if you're like, but we need content, guess what? There's so much on Patreon. We do bonus episodes. If you've never listened to a Patreon bonus episode, guess what? There's like hundreds of bonus episodes out there. And this week was a free bonus, actually. It was a trailer trash breakdown of The Valley Persian Style.
Well, it wasn't free. It was only free for a second because we streamed it live on accident.
Unfree.
Was free. It's been unfreed. It was unfreed of the people who happened to be on YouTube that day. But yeah, Married to Medicine. And then we also did our final Dwell. Hello. So yeah, we still did five shows.
Yeah, still a lot of content out there and in our back catalogs. Anyway, you get it. So patreon.com/watchforcrappens. I hope everyone has a great
day. You get it.
You get it.
I know. What are you arguing about?
Some crazy thing just flew across your screen. What was that?
Was it behind me or in front of me?
Ghost. It looked like a ghost.
I hope it's a ghost. I know that there's a ghost somewhere in this house, and I want to meet the ghost. Where is he or she?
I have sworn I saw something. But you know, sometimes there are these things like if you make like an L or something.
Where are you at? Come over here and see me. I've been wanting a ghost. I'm the only person who wants the ghost. I've been looking for them, and they never talk to me or anything.
I cannot wait to go back. And like maybe it was me. Like I could have sworn I just saw a white thing go floating across your screen. But also, like, we know your camera, sometimes, Ronnie, you're talking, and your camera will just give, like, a thumbs up. It'll just float up across. So it could have been that.
No, I think you would have known if it was. I hope it was a ghost. The piano I got was from the year this house was built, which is 1956. And so I was like, maybe if I get a piano the year that the house was built, whoever died in this house from 1956 will play the piano. Or I don't know, something. Because, you know, no one can, you know... what am I trying to say? No one can stop themselves from playing a piano, even if they can't play it, like me. They'll like sit there and like chopsticks or whatever. Anytime someone comes in here, they start chopsticking or Mary Had a Little Lambing It or Heart and Souling It. So come on, ghost, get off your lazy ass.
Maybe the ghost will play like Heartbreak Hotel or like Sweet Shoes, because 1956 is the year that Elvis became famous, according to my very quick searching.
Really? Well, you know, the song I practice every day on the piano is I Can't Help Falling in Love with You by Elvis. What made popular by
UB40 Elvis? Also. I would love it if Elvis decided to haunt you. That's such an amazing find for, like, most people just get ghosts of sad children or crazy old people.
I don't want Elvis. I have enough of an eating disorder without Elvis over here shitting out peanut butter banana sandwiches and, you know, doing his coke on the, I'm trying to stop all
you
that.
You don't need Elvis. You don't need Elvis also nagging you. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Stop it. I'm actually much more than that.
Elvis. I know. I described Elvis and I was like, actually, I think I just described my past decade. So I'm like Elvis without the fame and fortune. I'm just That one I saw too. Was that it? There was something that flew behind me.
Did you see? I was looking on a different screen. I swear to God, I was on a different screen. You saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
It was like a white. It was like a white thing that flew across.
What was it? A ghost of a bug? That's not a good ghost. What if I just have a ghost of a bug? No, it was like a white ghost thing.
It could also just be a bug.
I don't have bugs.
Like an actual, like a bug that's floated by the camera that looks much bigger because it's on camera.
I don't have bugs.
It's like, this is like the Today Show for bugs. They're like, oh my God, hi mom. Anyway, let's move on. This episode of Salt Lake City is so good. I'm wondering that when Andy Cohen teased that the next episode of Salt Lake City may be his favorite of the season, and then we got last week's episode, which was nice. Maybe he really meant this episode. Maybe he got confused with the order, because this episode I thought was tremendous. And in fact, about like 20 minutes into it, I was like, is this going to be a bottle episode? Is it all going to take place at Vultures? And I actually got very excited for that, because really, truly for the first 20 minutes of airtime, not including commercials, we were in, or 20 minutes, we were in Vultures. And I was like, oh my God, this entire show might take place around this table, which will actually be amazing television. It didn't, but it still was amazing television. I was so hopeful that it would.
It was good. Great. And I was really, really happy for Muzzy for having a good episode. I mean, Muzzy kind of had a redemptive episode, which I thought was very nice, because, you know, no woman in America is as hated as Muzzy right now in the Real Housewives watching community. I mean, she's really taken Rossi. A lot of...
Gretchen Rossi is sort of up there these days, huh?
Well, she's at least got a lot of the country behind her. But Muzzy, I mean, everyone, Republican, Democrat, no matter what you feel about gay people and trans people, everyone can agree that Muzzy's been an asshole. But yeah, I was happy for her for having a nice kind of redemptive episode where she was somewhat kind. Her eyebrows even looked better. Do you think it was the kindness?
I think so. Maybe she's in the holiday spirit. I know that someone, I believe on Reddit, it could have been Twitter, but I think it was Reddit, said that they went to a thrift store and they found Muzzy's t-shirt, the one that had that frazzled cat saying, yeah, everything's fine, everything's fine. And it's like, oh, it all makes sense now. Muzzy graduated. Muzzy like found warmth in her hat and she was able to retire her souvenir t-shirt. So the arc has been completed. Muzzy has found warmth and happiness. So good for Muzzy.
Yeah, good for Muzzy.
Did well. Yeah.
For this episode, you know, we'll see. So we also got to see Gwen, which we don't see Gwen very often. Gwen with her matching mom hair, which was weird, and her gecko obsession. Like, I'm leaving you, mother. So that was fun. But yeah, overall, a pretty good one. And we also got the moment we all knew was coming, which was Whitney's Meredith is an alcoholic storyline, which we knew that was coming. And it was kind of stymied because Whitney cannot do a storyline, right? I mean, it's classic Whitney, you know, just bungling every storyline she's got. But damn it, it got out there. So congratulations to Whitney on starting her season one, part two, or like second half of the season storyline going. Good for her.
I know. You know, it's crazy. We're already on episode 11 of the show, and it feels like we're only reaching like one third. Like we just hit the one third mark for the season. It feels like there's still so much ground to cover. So it's wild that like we're already at episode 11 when realistically there's probably like four or five episodes left. But then again, we also did kind of like Muzzy had a, oh, look, Muzzy is nice now thing. So they're starting to tie up some things. And we also had like some resolution with Brittany and her daughter. But I just feel like the season just started. I know that's crazy to say it, but I feel like we're just getting underway. But also Meredith did a classic Meredith thing, which is she did not ever accept responsibility for anything that may or may not have happened on the airplane. But what she has done is decided to start up a feud with Whitney to distract away from it and sort of like do this like quick patch up with Brittany and move forward. I mean, that is a pro if you've ever seen one. That's just like, that's high level housewifery.
Yeah, I think Meredith at one point was like, why am I letting Brittany become the star of this show? I'm dropping Whitney and I'm going to come for the real meat, Heather and Whitney, because fuck those two. And I saw an interview with Meredith, I don't know, some red carpet thing or whatever. And she was like, and they said, well, who's giving you the problems in the second half of the season? And she's like, well, it's the Shitneys. You know who they are. Whitney and Brittany, the Shitneys.
I was like, oh, here she goes. Oh my God, mom. That's so funny, mom.
That's hilarious. Like so funny. I designed that for her.
Thing. That's yeah, like I did that for her. That's like, Meredith, that's just great, Meredith. That's funny. That's a funny hey, bit, Meredith, Mare.
Tell him the one about being a pansexual. Like, it's so Mare, good. It's so good.
That joke is so good. I want to be its dad. Oh, God, I want that joke to call me for advice. Ah.
Okay, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, episode 611, Ladies Who Lunch, the sequel.
Mm-hmm. So we are actually driving away from Mary's church. This is like, we're picking up almost directly from where the last one left off. We start with Lisa and Meredith in a car. And Lisa's like, oh my God, are you like ready for lunch? Yeah, I'm starving. Me too. Oh, wow. There's a fly in the car. Look at that. There's a fly in here.
Right after I was going over the bug in my house. And I got it. God. It wasn't a ghost. It was a bug. It was a mosquito. And guess what? The mosquito is now a ghost. Bye, bitch.
Wow. Well, that follows a very similar arc to the bug that was in Lisa's car, because Meredith lowers the window and goes, bye, fly. You can leave.
Mary's service was beautiful, wasn't it? It was so beautiful. It's like, oh, so nice, so beautiful. Yeah, when we first got to the church, though, like, any everyone's energy, it was, like, so off. It was, like, just so off their energy.
Yeah, they were basically like, why are you here, basically? And then we go to Heather's car, where she's driving with Whitney, and Heather's like, I mean, they come in, they're all smiles, nothing's happened, nothing has gone wrong. I'm like, well, how did you guys greet them? By like frowning and crying and pointing fingers in their faces. You guys smile too. It's called being polite at church.
Well, they were kind of awkward when they walked in. They were like, oh my God, look who's here. Oh my God, they're totally here right now. What do we do?
So Whitney's like, yeah, them pretending nothing happened was what really bothered me, because I think they're going to try and spin it where it's someone else's fault. It's going to be our fault.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is like, well, if they try to spin it, that's just absolutely impossible. So now we go to Valter's, and Angie K is walking down the street, down the red carpet. And Mary explains to us that after the plane ride, everyone is not forgiving and everyone is not healed. So Lord, help us all. So Valter's, I wish they had put up a card, by the way. I think it's like overdue, a card that said, you know, Valter, 1920 something to 2021 or whenever he passed.
I think they did.
Oh.
When Valter passed, I think they did at the end of the episode. I think they were like, we dedicate this to Valter. Son of a gun.
Could have done it again.
No one did a rigatoni like Valter
or something. I think they did an RIP for Valter. I hope so.
They probably did. I just want more. More RIPs.
But you know what?
An RIP for Cucina Toscana, because we haven't been there in forever. Is that place?
We haven't. What happened to that restaurant?
I don't know.
I miss it. But there are still all the doormen. You know, Mary still has like the red carpet in front of the Valters for entering for all the ladies and all the guys standing outside. Like, it's so fancy. They didn't do a Met Gala thing like they did the first time, though. Yeah. And I think that was a very important part. And Mary also didn't get everyone like really extravagant gifts. This time she got them all beta fish.
Didn't she do that already? Didn't she already do that? Wasn't that like what she did the first time?
No, the first time she got them like crazy extravagant gifts, didn't
like
she?
Watches.
She got them. Yeah, I think it was watches and crystal boxes or something crazy.
Let me see.
Are you looking at it up on the
fish?
Yeah, on the computer.
Mary Cosby. Does anyone have a clip of Mary Cosby saying this is on Reddit? Does anyone have a clip of Mary Cosby saying she doesn't eat fish because it'll start a fish family in her stomach? Okay, no, that was not it.
Succession music is playing. I don't know why, but we're at Valter's, but they do a nice Succession theme. And Heather and Whitney come in, and Heather's like, I love beta fish. I love beta fish.
Sisters. All of these beta fish are sisters.
And Whitney's like, wait a minute. Why isn't this fish moving? They're like, oh, yeah, they don't move. And Angie says, he's a snooze fest. This one, we should call this one Meredith. Ha, 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 ha.
And so they're all saying hi. And then Meredith and Lisa walk in, and Angie's like, oh, your guests are here. And Lisa's like, oh my God, I love this. This is so sweet. Oh my God. Beta fish. Oh my God. Are you kidding? Do I have to go home with a fash? This is crazy. What do I do with a fash?
I love that Lisa said, wow, you know what, Mary? Like, your service, like, that was so amazing. That was, like, so from the heart. When Mary's service was like, you are soulless. What was she saying? Like, she gave them each thing. And when it got to Lisa, she's like, you with no souls, with no humanity. You with the long black hair, Satan. I see Satan in you. And Lisa's like,
wow, that was really good. That was so good, Mary. Yeah. That was great.
So now they're all making jokes about the beta fish. Bronwyn's like, I mean, a goodie bag is usually a gift for me, not a responsibility. And Heather's like, the more the merrier. I'm an empty nester. Doesn't mean I can't care for a fish. I mean, we're a sisterhood of fish that we keep at home. As long as that fish doesn't bother me while I'm writing a new novel, which I'm writing, New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, but beta fish are fighting fish. Like my friends.
That was the that punchline was the Las Vegas of punchlines. When you're driving down the highway, you see it many miles before you arrive. So
before she even saw it. Yeah, she's like so proud every time she gets to the end of a line. It's so funny. Like, she does this like little nose scrunch and like, wow. She just makes her eyes like that. Like,
wow, I did it.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hello, I'm Matt Ford.
And I'm Alice Levine, and we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, British Scandal.
In our latest series, Michelle Moan, we tell the story of a woman from Glasgow who left school at 15 and devised an idea. A next-level bra that remolds the cleavage.
An uplifting story which gives you a real boost. I hate myself.
She moved from business to politics and, when COVID hit, says she knows a great company to supply PPE. And the company, PPE MedPro, made millions of pounds of profit from the contract. Oh, and a lot of the equipment was unusable.
Oh, a minor detail. And having said that she had nothing to do with that profit repeatedly, she then goes on national television and says that her and her children are actually in line to receive nearly £30 million as a result of it.
To find out the full, incredible story, follow British Scandal wherever you listen to podcasts. Or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
So they sit down
you,
and
by
now...
By the way, sorry to interrupt. Did you see that montage that someone made of Angie K doing slow burns? I never even realized... I've noticed that she does them, and I always laugh when she does them, but I didn't realize the degree to which Angie K will like rotate her head very slowly and look away from something. And it is amazing. And she does like 10 during the scene. She's like, I am looking away slowly and flaring my eyes.
She's like a camera in your house, you know? She's like a Ring camera that just kind of moves, whatever those little cameras are.
So good.
So they sit down and it's quiet and everybody's giving soap opera looks. Bronwyn is giving like the telenovela, like, And Angie's giving hers. And then Heather's like, okay, well, so wait a minute. Is this Dom from 2003? Remember, everybody? That was a hilarious season.
And we get the flashback where Mary told the story about how there was a heat wave that killed 5,600 people but made the best grapes of all time, which I forgot about that.
And Heather's like, should I be looking for the tears of the deceased?
Mary is like, well, I invited you all because this was an important day and I felt like I needed a group of around me of real friendship. And if you notice, the ones that are not here, which is Brittany, I did let her know why she wasn't invited. So 5 hours earlier, Mary calls Brittany on the phone and goes, I just wanted to let you know that I'm having an event today and I did not invite you because you told me that I was the most ungodly person you ever met.
It's like, well, I mean, I meant that in the moment because it felt like you were super mean and God wouldn't be mean, but it was hurtful. And I'm sorry. God wouldn't be mean. Have you read the Bible?
I think a Pharaoh or two would like to have a word. Like, what? I wore my best suit today and a frog fell on me. Where'd that come from?
God's unhappy. He's like, okay, you know what? I'm pissed off at them because they did something to me. So just go slaughter the whole village. What do you mean you kept a cow? I'm slaughtering you and your whole family too. Listen, the word smite comes from the Bible, okay? Don't fuck with God. It's not just some nice little mamby-pamby you can push around, okay?
God's like, I was just reacting. I was venting to a friend, and I'm sorry that you overheard my plague.
Yeah, God was mean, but then he saw all the tweets about him. So then he changed it up for season two, which is the New Testament. So he came back with, like, you know, a little Botox and some fillers, new boobs and, you know, a weave, and then tried to be nice for a season. But don't you worry. There's always season three.
So Mary is saying that she's like, hey, you know, Brittany apologized and she meant it. And, you know, she's like, and my mouth hit the floor. And I looked at the dog and I said, should I invite her? And I was like, give me a paw if I should invite her. See a footage of the dog. The dog's like, and just like,
the dog just tilts his head and doesn't know what to do. So it just lays down. She's like, and he didn't give me his paw. So I didn't invite her. So if I could, I feel like if she could apologize, you know, then we should be able to come together and understand why we're hurt and what happened and, you know, who didn't or didn't apologize. Okay. I love that Mary is trying to, like, be preacher Mary this season and just be sweet. And, you know, we're all falling for this nice, kind new version of Mary, but I'm sorry. You just preached a sermon at church and now you're coming to this fine dining restaurant that costs $1 zillion and refusing to invite a girl that you don't like. So please spare me the forgiveness talk. Okay. Mm-hmm. Please.
But actually, I think it was good that Brittany wasn't there, because I don't think they would have had as productive a conversation. It would have gone left. It would have been like the yacht all over again.
Yeah, so it would have been about Brittany.
Yeah, it would have been a mess. So Mary is like, you know, we're just, you know, just say, I'm sorry if that offended you. And Heather goes, oh my gosh, that's the magical sentence. Are you listening, Lisa? Are you listening to what Mary's saying? And Lisa's like, are you listening to what Mary's saying? Mary's like, is this a fight? Should we be in fight mode?
Well, I'm just saying that there was no apology. And Lisa, you didn't apologize to me. And I was just trying to tell you what Mary said. And I was deeply offended.
Please, Heather, you chased Lisa around drunkenly on a boat for 2 days, screaming and yelling that she betrayed everybody with no proof. What is Heather even all? What is Heather ever talking about on this show? I like that Heather shows up all innocent, like, I deserve an apology, too.
Yeah. And I love that. Like, she's literally the last person who deserves apology in this situation. And Mary's like, wait, what are you hurt about? And she goes, because I was hurt that this really great, amazing trip ended up in Brittany being corralled off of a plane by us, a sisterhood, sobbing. Well, she was sobbing, not the sisterhood. The sisterhood was laughing. Angie can't even stand Brittany, and Mary can't stand Brittany, and they were caressing her and helping her. Gosh, that's terrible. And Angie's like, it was really bad and Greek. It was anti-Greek.
Well, I never said nothing happened.
And then we see a clip of Lisa, and she goes, I said nothing to Brittany, and I'm not apologizing. So,
no,
and then we cut back. The editors are so good. So then we cut back, and Heather's like, it's called paraphrasing, Lisa. Well, we never even discussed what happened, Heather, so I don't know what you're talking about.
This is me, Carl Meredith, just being calm in a restaurant.
Well, tell me what happened that warranted our trip ending horribly with one of our friends never wanting to be in the same room as you or you, because she holds both of you equally accountable.
Well, that's weird.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, that's really weird. I don't know why.
I was reacting to her very malicious actions, and her reaction was not right time. My reaction was not right time. Not right place. And that's all I was doing something at the not right time, not right place.
Well, listen here, girlfriend. It was more than the wrong time in the wrong place.
Ah, I'm Meredith's friend. I feel like Meredith was beyond upset. You ever have a Beyond burger? She was the burger, and it was beyond. Yeah.
Yeah. And Whitney's like, but what we witnessed was different than what you are saying, because it was like you were taunting Brittany and calling her names.
Nuh-uh. Meredith didn't even talk to Brittany.
I did not speak to her once, not even once. I would say, waiter, could you please pour a glass of champagne over the dirty whore that nobody loves that's in front of me? I mean, is there something wrong with that?
She had over-the-ear headphones and a movie on or something like that. I wasn't really sure what the movie was about, but I saw a lady crawling out of a television. It looked like an adorable rom-com. It was The Ring. Well, I don't know what that is.
but it was all in earshot and she could still hear you. Meredith was actually diabolical on the plane.
There would definitely be brief moments of peace and then it would slowly pick up again and it would crescendo. Could someone let Whitney know what crescendo means? Thank you.
Well, Meredith has ranges of emotions and volume, and we were in the diabolical and disgusting range for 2 hours.
Oh, 2 hours or 5 hours? Because you guys change your story like every 2 seconds. And did you see when they were interviewing Mary at BravoCon on whatever carpet they have over there, the blue carpet, whatever? And they were asking her about this fight, and Mary said, no, Meredith wasn't yelling. She wasn't yelling or screaming. She was just, you know, spiraling.
Did not see that.
Well, just Lisa while we're all believing everything that Mary says.
So Lisa goes, the fact that these girls exacerbated us and made it something that it wasn't is kind of like bullshit. And Meredith is like, well, I vented on a plane to a friend for, I don't know, 30 minutes, 30 seconds. It was basically like I just batted my eyelashes and I communicated through eye signals. And suddenly I'm the man guy.
And now Meredith time changes too, because before it was 10 minutes and then maybe it was 15. Now she's like, all right, well, maybe it was 30 minutes. Okay. Well, we were all there. Mary's saying we were all there and we heard it. And if it's not lining up with what she said she did and we all heard it, I mean, well, then, well, here we are then. So Whitney's like,
yeah, and Brittany's hair was wet and she was hyperventilating and she was terrorized for 5 hours.
Okay, well, I slept and I watched 2 movies, so it was not 5 hours. Okay, try again.
Oh, really? What movies did you watch then?
And I started cracking up because this is so this show. And Meredith is like, what?
I mean, it was obvious the movie I saw was Crazy Rich Asians. Yes, exactly. Crazy Rich Asians, a documentary about the rise of income and wealth and wealth disparity in China following the rise of so certain things like battery-operated cars and special minerals. No, Meredith. No. It's a rom-com. It's with Henry Golding. Henry Golding, of course, who is a CEO of a tech company. No. Henry Golding and Michelle Yeoh. No, you are not in it. No, Michelle Yeoh. I'm not Michelle. Michelle Yeoh. I'm not Michelle.
Are you trying to say Michelle me? I'm not really sure what you're going
to say. No. Oh, Michelle Yeoh, not Michelle. No, Yeoh. Huh?
Well, there was also another movie, and I don't recall the name of the movie. Okay, then what happened at the end of Crazy Rich Asians? Yeah, wait a minute. Are we really doing this? Are we really doing this? Come on, you guys.
Well, I don't remember. I mean, I think someone went crazy, and there was someone who was rich, and possibly there was someone who was Asian, but the specifics elude me at this moment, Your Honor.
Well, it ended with an Asian person being dragged out of a board meeting for turning crazy. He was very rich, so he got off.
No. I got this, Mayor. I got this. Okay. There was a big party. Oh, because a toddler came out with a tracksuit in China. Oh, it was a great movie. I loved it. Very heartwarming.
Well, I usually remember movies I see. Oh, do you? Wow. Look at Angie. Movie rememberer. Wow. Yeah, Crazy Rich Asians has a really big moment at the end. Think about it. I saw it with my daughters, who thankfully are out of my life now.
Well, I honestly don't remember. I mean, was it something with Mahjong at this point? Actually, that was surprisingly close. Mahjong, which of course is the name of a very important fashion designer who was featured in the movie. Oh, now she's off track again.
Did you watch it, Lisa? She's like, I did. Okay, then you tell us what happened.
Then we get a timer of Lisa trying to, like a timer and a scorecard come up on the camera. And she's like,
okay, there was this guy. I think it was Asian, but like, who am I to say? So he goes on this plane and then he stops everyone. And he's like, oh my God, I want to marry you. Why can't we have peanuts anymore? Because like, it's crazy. Like when I was growing up, there weren't peanut allergies on planes. And so we could eat peanuts. But now all of a sudden people are going to die. Like seriously, so I can't have a peanut because you have an allergy. You know what I mean? I don't want pretzels. I don't eat carbs. Well, unless they're Wendy's. But Wendy's doesn't serve pretzels. So why am I going to eat that? What are Asian people only into pretzels now? Do Asian people still eat peanuts? Can I get them on this plane? I don't want to marry anybody who has pretzel breath. That's
Lisa,
it.
Lisa, what? That didn't happen in the movie. What are you talking about? Oh, sorry. Oh. Okay. So he was like, I want to get married at a pond or something like that.
Yeah.
And like, the big extra or something like that. And like, but like that didn't happen. But they have a big party for them. And Mary's like, oh, is this a good movie? It's like, yeah. And there's like synchronized swimmers. And it's like very exciting. And like, it's a beautiful movie.
Well, I must have been asleep by then. I must have been asleep then. Fine. Oh, wait, then were you sleep talking? Because I could hear it for the entire flight that was 2 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 3 hours. I was sleeping. I wasn't sleeping. No one was sleeping. I heard everything.
Well, that's impossible. I wasn't saying a word because I was either asleep or I was so captivated about Crazy Rich Asians that I was speechless. So I think you better rethink that, Whitney Rose.
Well, I heard you yelling for 5 rows in front of you. Well, that is impossible. She was sobbing. Who was? Well, Angie was sobbing. How did you hear that from where you... No, I wasn't sobbing. Brittany was sobbing.
Well, I admit the movie was emotional. It was very sad when that crazy rich Asian came in and killed the cow. I mean, talk about a crazy thing to do.
Who wants a movie to end with an Asian person in love about to get married and then dying from a peanut allergy because Lisa couldn't help herself?
Meredith, please stop. Please stop trying to act like you saw this movie. Well, I did. It was about someone who went into a Chinese restaurant and then went crazy. I mean, it's in the title.
But she was sobbing. Well, then you should have supported her. You were screaming. You lost it. We all saw the same thing.
We all saw Crazy Rich Asians.
I think that Meredith has the right to lose her shit sometimes. Oh, no, not to friends, not to friends.
I would just like to point out again that Heather literally followed Lisa around screaming and yelling while she was sobbing and on the phone with her husband and followed her all the way to the edge of a swim platform. Where she could have jumped off.
On a boat.
Like, I'm not even denying what happened on this plane. I have no idea. I wasn't there. All I know is that Heather, as the messenger of being all that's good and calm and how we treat friends and how we treat friends, is fucking hilarious to me. And the fact that they just let her get away with it every time cracks me up. So Heather's like, well, this requires an apology. Do you feel bad that you hurt Brittany?
Well, I already told you I feel bad. Well, I feel badly that I hurt Brittany's feelings. Unfortunately, Brittany does not feel badly at all that she hurt my feelings, so there's nowhere to go. And at the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing, especially if you're trying to watch a movie and you fall asleep during it, and that becomes the keystone of an argument against you. So she doesn't like me. I don't like her. We don't need to be friends. Everyone can move on.
Well, you know, feeling bad, that's different from saying sorry. Okay. You feel bad. That's different from saying sorry. So, well, I am sorry that she heard me venting and it hurt her. So yes, I am.
Oh, so you're not. So you're not then. Okay. It's like,
Well, I am very sorry that I said I would ever sit in behind her because that was obviously a mistake because she could overhear everything that I was going to say. So I take full responsibility for my seating choice. And that's an apology about seats. Yes.
And you know what? I'm entitled to my feelings. Yeah, but you lost your right to cry when you harassed her on the plane, Meredith.
I lost my right to my feelings. And then the sound effects go, shwing.
Like the Oz went out of control on that.
We had so many sound effects. First, we had a boom. Like throughout this conversation, first there was a boom. And then at one point, there was like a snake rattle. Like, and then this one was like, shrieking. And then later on, there's one
trying to solve a mystery. Like,
yeah. I love the one that sounds like it's you're in like a deserted town where it's. And meanwhile, by the way, while they're having this
fight, I like
fight,
the one like, where wait. They do that door creak where it's yeah, like someone says something and then it goes.
And meanwhile, while this whole fight is going on, there's like a waiter behind Meredith, like squeezing lemon onto plates. Like, ooh.
Yeah. I like that the waiters at Walter's know by now they're not even affected by any of the fighting.
Well, you lost the privilege to speak about it. Look at me, Meredith. And she's like, oh, well, stop talking to me, man. I lost the privilege to speak. So why are you talking to me?
Meredith's like, a little bit more wine, please. Thank you so much. So Meredith goes, you told me I lost my privilege to speak. So why should I even speak? She goes, hang on one second. This is time for, it's time for a speech. Okay, hang me on the four words that I spoke. I'll explain why I said those words and I'll explain it to this whole sisterhood. I said them because I feel like we got on the plane having your back and whatever happened on the plane swapped that right on its head and it went to you and Lisa looking like bullies and you were mad and you were telling us all to take notes and you left the plane and you left the plane and you guys did not seem upset at all. Brittany had to be physically carried to customs by us. The remainder of the sisterhood. So for me to say you lost your privilege to hang your hat on the victim, you did, because whatever happened, the plane on the plane tipped the scales and you are in the wrong. Now the scene is over because I had a great speech. Oh, it's still going to go on? Okay, sure. Fine. I just thought it was a really good speech.
You may have been watching Crazy Rich Asians, but the rest of us were watching fine, crazy, financially stable Caucasian.
Meredith just shrugs and then they have a stare off and everyone's looking at each other and we hear a couple of booms. And Meredith's like, say something.
Well, I lost my privilege to speak, so that's fine. For her not to give me the benefit of the doubt and to show me grace is wrong. And she should be a human being and not be such a judgmental bitch.
Oh my God, Icon Mother. Oh my God, she just chopped you.
Icon literal mother.
Lisa's like, it's okay for you to be upset. And Mary says, Lisa, if I had treated you like that on the plane, would you have thought it was okay?
I think that she thought that was a fucking nightmare. And I don't know how I'm going to navigate myself out of this.
That's not what I thought. I did not think that. No, I didn't.
Why didn't you go through customs with us? Explain this to me.
You know what is so funny? Because I actually have global entry and I should have used it, but I forgot that I had it. Isn't that funny? It was hilarious because I have it, but I didn't remember because it wasn't on my app or anything. That was so good.
Wait a second. This is a lie. It's so obvious that she's lying.
No.
You don't add global. You don't add global entry to your ticket. It's something that you just have. You're identified as this person. It's not you don't forget to enter the globe because you're on the globe. So how could you enter it? It's just it doesn't make sense.
This was so good because Whitney was giddy. She had solved, when Whitney solves a mystery on this show, she's always thinking she's solving a mystery. And she's
yeah, because it's just who you are. It's global entry.
And then they put a diagram on her face and started moving it around an alien ship. And she's
yeah, because it's not on your ticket.
And then they show a ticket on the screen and they circle something. But we had a screener, so it was blocked what they circled. I don't know if they circled global entry or TSA pre.
Probably TSA pre. I mean, I will say this, largely Whitney is right. But if someone else books the ticket for you or something like that, it can get left off and then you have to speak to a gate agent or something like that. So it is possible not to have it. But I think if you don't have it, if you're Lisa Barlow and you fly to this Caribbean island and you don't have TSA pre when you get on the plane, because it's going to go on both sides of the ticket, you're definitely calling someone to be where's my global entry? You have to add it onto my ticket. Absolutely. So this was a bit I don't know about that. I think that she was avoiding the pack.
Yeah, well, they scan your face if you're in global entry and then you go through the thing. You don't really have a card. You can have a card, but it doesn't matter. They scan your face. But yeah, I think she was clearly just avoiding being with the other ladies going through global entry.
And then this
but
becomes
the only other person that didn't have global entry, apparently, was Brittany. So she ended up still having to go through this line with Brittany.
But then stayed away from Brittany back there. So,
it was so funny.
So now they go from prosecuting Crazy Rich Asians to global entries. And she's like, why didn't you use it? You didn't not use it to stay back with Brittany, but then you stayed in line by yourself for 5 hours and didn't use it. What happened?
Do you know what? Don't worry about it, Angie, okay? No, because why didn't you stay by Brittany if you were there with Brittany? She's like, because I needed space, okay? I had my AirPods in and I was listening to Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, I love him. I'm a Kendrick goes, Lamar
not
girly.
Kendrick Lamar. And she just starts laughing. Yeah, no, I love Kendrick.
Yeah.
I love it. I love when he sang the song about cups and was in the acapella movie. It's like, that's Anna Kendrick.
Oh,
that's not Kendrick Lamar.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Lisa, we were all there. Mary's like, I can't imagine having to sit next to Meredith in that moment of rage. And I'm not attacking you, Meredith. Oh, I know you're not. But I love you and I care about you. And you were hurt. And I know that. She's like, well, I didn't have a lot of support at that point. So maybe you know it, but I didn't feel your support.
She's like, Meredith, we love you. We support you. And Angie says, I supported you in that moment. I did not like what Brittany did to you. And I think everyone would agree.
And you basically said to me, if I pick Brittany inside with Brittany, then when you're hurting, then we're done. And I don't want to feel like that. I don't want to have to take sides like that.
I didn't say we're done. I said noted. As in, if you take Brittany's side, I recognize you take Brittany's side and I will take note of that.
But that's exactly what Brittany said to you, Lisa, if you're going to side with Meredith.
And Meredith goes, well, that's not what she said to Lisa. Lisa was threatened and she said, I'm going to come for you if you don't agree with me.
Yeah. She said, I'm going to have a problem with you if you don't agree with me. Are you sure that Kendrick Lamar didn't sing the cup song? I'm pretty sure it was Kendrick Lamar. Can we circle back to that?
Yeah, but you know what? One thing that Meredith did say is that I'm going to have a problem with you if you don't support me. But you know what? She did. And Meredith's like, no, I didn't. And Heather's like, okay, thank you, Lisa. And Angie's like, well, did it occur to you that some of the things that your friends say came out of your mouth, maybe came out of your mouth? And she's like, well, all I said was show me the TikTok. That's all I said. Very calm.
Why does Mary, Heather, and Whitney have the same story, and then you have a different story? I'm just trying to understand.
Look, it's like Jerry Maguire said, show me the TikTok. Show me a TikTok, right?
Let's stop playing a game of Clue, okay? You know what? Mrs. Peacock was a crazy rich Asian. She got killed by a candlestick in somebody's library or something, okay? Just say you don't like her behavior, and they didn't like that you were upset, because that's the bottom line. Just say that.
Well, and Mary's like, yeah, but it is. But you just never stopped. Well, it's just not possible because I slept. I was sleeping. I mean, you all heard. I never saw the end of that very exciting action movie about the crazy people. And, you know, but it put me to sleep. It was so exciting. I fell asleep. And that's just how it is.
Well, and Mary says, you know, the thing is, the fact that you don't remember concerns me, and I don't think you remember everything. And she's like, well, I'm not going back and forth, and I know what you're saying behind my back, Whitney, so let's not go there, Whitney. Okay, Whitney.
Yeah, suddenly she just pivots to Whitney, and Angie's like, she's not saying anything behind your back. I have not said anything behind your back at all, except voicing my concern about the situation.
Right.
Well, I guess I have misinformation, perhaps. Wait, there's one person that I talked to, camera on Bronwyn, who said something to Meredith. Who?
And then suddenly Bronwyn's in the hot seat.
Bronwyn comes up. But this didn't come out of nowhere there because Mary was saying, listen, I'm concerned for you because I don't think you remember. So that was Meredith like, okay, so now they're going to pivot to my alcoholism, which I know they're going to pivot to because fucking Bronwyn told me that Whitney's trying to start this behind my back, right? So Bronwyn's like, okay, well, I'll tell you. Okay, if Meredith doesn't want to, then I will. You and I had lunch and I talked to Meredith and I asked for her side. And I said, it was told to me that you said you were seen drinking in the lounge. And then we see the clip of Bronwyn asking Meredith, so Meredith, were you drinking? And she's like, yes. So Bronwyn twisting it to be like, yeah, it was said to me that you were seen drinking in the lounge. And Bronwyn's like, and it's being said that maybe you don't remember what you said, what you don't remember what you said. Okay. And she's like, well, I do not have a substance abuse problem. Whitney goes, I didn't say that though. Well, it was implied. It was implied.
Bronwyn, what were the implications you walked away with your conversation with Whitney?
And she's like, well, you were drinking heavily and you didn't remember. And you said something how you thought my mom's t-shirt was really awesome. And I said, sure, I can get you a copy if you want.
Yeah, well, because everything is fine and everything has been fine and it was fine on that flight. So Whitney's like, but you know what? You know how I feel? I'll tell you. I think it could be one of three things. Okay. Three things. Either you have hatred in your heart. Boom. You have an anger problem. I'll take anger problem for 200, please.
Well, I don't have an anger problem. All right.
Or you have mixing with substances problems. I mean, problems of mixing subs. I mean, mixing. Hey, wait. Do you think it's fair that based on that what I witnessed that I would assume those three things?
I like that when she gave her three choices, the first two, Meredith is like, no, not that. Two, no, not that. Or you have a substance problem. She's like, I'm out of things to pick. I'm out. What do I do? Like there was a moment where Meredith looked like, oh shit, I ran out of options.
She pushed her luck too much. She took door number three.
Yeah.
So Bronwyn's like, look, it sounds like you were wrong on the plane. And I've tried to be supportive of you and I tried to ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And I tried to have your back because I thought that was a step too far. And I appreciate that. But then you added this at the table, our conversation. No, I gave her a chance to tell me herself and she did it. And I never said a word. I never said what it was. And I never said who said it at all. I just said Brahman just told me these things, but it could have been any Brahman. You think you're the only Brahman on this planet? It could have been anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I've damaged my relationship with Whitney and I was just trying to help you. Bronwyn gets all mad. Bronwyn, you were the one who took her out and started all this, telling her that Whitney thought she had a drinking problem. This is, she blacked out. So what are you acting all defensive for? Like now you're turning on Meredith. You were the one. These people, you know what? You don't see.
Well, I actually don't think it's so bad. I think that Bronwyn's saying like, hey, just so you know, everyone's saying that you have a drinking problem. You should heads up is like not the worst thing in the world. And I think
why is she acting so defensive? Like, well, Meredith, you know, now you've damaged my relationship with Whitney. Yeah. But Whitney was the one that implied that. So why are you mad at Meredith now?
Well, that I can't explain.
Like it's so.
Well, she's basically mad because she's like, I told you something privileged. I gave you a heads up, and now you drag that into this conversation. It's all irrational.
Yeah, but Bronwyn is notorious for listening to one thing in a conversation, like she did to start this whole fight. When she took Brittany to the store to get information from Brittany, went to the store, started asking her questions about people. Well, what do you think of Lisa? She's big sistering me and I don't like it. What do you think of Meredith? She looks like she's having a seizure all the time. And then immediately goes, oh, really? Well, she said that you're trying to boss her around and that you have a epilepsy problem. You go into seizures or whatever, which is what started Meredith on this whole thing on this particular rampage in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So Meredith is like, Mary says, well, you do realize you were wrong, right? She's like,
somewhat. I was reacting to her behavior. I mean, what more do you want from me? I don't know what I'm going to do with Brittany. So that's all I can say for now.
Lisa's like, you don't have to have the answer. It's okay, Meredith. It's okay.
Like, yes, well, because now I'm going to be mad at Whitney instead. And she's an easier punching bag. So we'll just pivot that way. Great seeing everyone. Good job.
Yeah. So now they're like, okay, let's make this happy and just make insane haws everywhere. It's like, so then Angie and Meredith are working out and it's wacky. They're just being wacky. They're a wacky pair, aren't they?
Wacky.
Look at them working out together. And Angie's like, if you can talk, that means you're not working out hard enough. She's like, I do not agree with that.
She's like,
thank you.
And then we go to Bronwyn at home, and she's asking Muzzy for a utensil. She's like, can you pass me that, what's it called?
A whisk.
Yes. You know, someone who didn't have a baby out of wedlock would have known what that's called. Mother, do you have to really make everything about that?
Kind of do. Yeah.
You should remember it's called a whisk because that's what we tried to have your baby, you know, whisked away and everything. Surely you remember. That baby came out, her head was whipped before she could even start crying.
Unfortunately, we were a bit too literal on the whisking. We thought when they said you whisk them away, you had to actually literally turn them into meringue. Hey, what can you do? Everything's fine. So Bronwyn's like, so I was emailing this morning with my attorney about my citizenship. And Muzzy's like, oh, so what's happening with that? She's like, And she tells us, surprise, I'm not actually an American citizen. I was born in Brazil and my parents are from the UK. So I had dual citizenship in both. And a few years ago, I decided I want to become a US citizen and get to vote. And I'm just so excited for jury duty. I'm like, girl, you're in danger. You're up here.
This is a confession.
Be careful. Be careful. They, last few weeks, they're talking about your criminal record. And now you're saying you're not even a citizen. You better be careful with this administration.
Yeah, Molly, you in danger, girl. Yeah, I was like, I don't always agree with you, Bronwyn, but I will still fight for you. Call me if you need me. But also, it's such an odd time, too, because everyone else is trying to figure out how to get the hell out of this country. Bronwyn's like, give me my citizenship.
Yeah. So Bronwyn, so basically she's like, she's saying, you know, it's funny because like all my siblings were born here and they all got their U.S. passports automatically. And Lizzie goes, and then we had an oops. Okay, mom, you can't tell me an oops to my face. Oops. Oops.
They're laughing. But I couldn't be the only person who thought, oh, really, Muzzy? Not as judgmental now, are we? Okay.
That's right. That's right. Talk about oops. Talk about oops. She did it again.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap. Okay. This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber Way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K sirrah sirrah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
We're obsessed all with Tessa V.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.